It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
All right, welcome to The Buzz. This is Sean Tackey, and I'm here with my co-host, Brandon Emmett.
What up, what up?
And we're going to talk a little bit about the Marijuana Control Board meeting that happened this week. It was on August 9th.
August 9th, yep.
9 a.m., and it basically was kind of a scoping meeting to get a feel for the community's take on enforcing license caps.
Yeah.
And or implementing them anyway.
Yeah, so the MCB had a special meeting to take public testimony about license caps. So we'll provide you guys a little bit of background on why they had the meeting. So there's a bunch of different groups that have different opinions about whether there should be license caps or not. And so for any of our listeners who aren't totally hip on what a license cap is, so in marijuana right now, there are no prohibitions on the number of licenses that can exist in the state. Certain municipalities can decide the time, place, and manner and number of businesses, but the state doesn't have any sort of limit on how many marijuana businesses can exist in the state. And so that begs the question, how many is enough? How many is too many? How many is too little? And so we get into the topic of license caps.
Right, which we can even use Fairbanks as an example. The city of Fairbanks has a license cap on the number of retails that would be permitted. So that's a good example of municipalities using their time, place, and manner.
Yeah, I believe here in Fairbanks, when we get to 25,
I think it's 25, yeah.
We're done.
Yep.
And so right now we have,
I think, like
16,
15, yeah.
Something like that. That. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not quite there yet.
But, nope.
Still got more coffee shops. But so, yeah, a little bit of the background of the different groups who are interested or disinterested in license caps. So there is the industry. So we have industry members that are in favor of license caps. We've got industry members that are opposed to license caps, bureaucrats that are in favor of license caps, bureaucrats that are opposed to license caps, and members of the general public who are both in favor or opposed to license caps.
Absolutely. During their actual break, we actually got to host Problem Corner, and we were taking calls as well from the community to get their perspective on license caps. And we had a few people call in. One called in twice.
Yeah. Yeah, some people have some pretty strong feelings about it. And that worked out really well because the MCB was having their meeting, and then they went to lunch, and that's when Problem Corner aired live. And so we were able to capture some of the people who had been listening into the meeting or who had commented at the meeting and got them here on Problem Corner. So that was pretty cool. So let's dive a little bit into this background. So the first group that we have here are the industry members in favor of license caps. And so Sean, could you expand a little bit on some of the reasons why an industry person might be in favor of a license cap?
Absolutely. Obviously, reduced competition. Have a balanced market, so that way there would be no more supply and demand waves so much. You know, it would be stuck in, like, this is how many there are. It's always expected. Another reason is that as soon as you actually have a cap, the value of your license suddenly becomes a lot more valuable. We've seen that happen in Arizona and other places where a license cap was put in place and suddenly they're worth a couple million dollars. So that's a huge advantage that people could see for having license caps.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's a lot of the motivation for some people who got into the industry early and who have built successful businesses, is they know that if there is a license cap, that large companies who are looking at the long-term speculation of the industry can see, wow, this business that's doing 6, 9, 12 million a year is actually worth $60 million in the long haul. And it could be, yeah, you know, it could be a big windfall to the people who got in early. Again, like you said, it also lets people know what the competition looks like too. You know how many people you've got to compete with, where they're at, you know who the different players are, and it injects a little more certainty into the market.
Absolutely. And it also is another way of like controlling people to be good actors as well.
Exactly.
You can't just go and spring up and have another license for only $5,000 and start anew. You get A, you're known, and then also you can get a license taken from you if, you know, you're not following the rules and stuff, and it's pretty much impossible to get it back or get another one at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of the system we have now because there's no caps. There is apparently an endless sea of new licensees coming in. Maybe they'll be good. Maybe they won't. Right. I think that's maybe a good transition into why some members of the industry or industry hopefuls might be opposed to a license.
Absolutely. Also, just as a reminder to everybody, you're listening to KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And you can also hear us streaming live on kfarradio.com when you're listening to The Buzz with Sean Tackey and Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo, The Buzz. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about why some of the industry members might be opposed to a license cap.
Well, some of the reasons that I heard yesterday, one posited that it would be stifling new business, decreasing job production, so having less jobs is one example. Also, the lack of innovation. People can't bring new ideas if there's a cap and they can't get a license or they don't have the capital to procure such a license. So they feel it shields out a lot of people that might be less, more disadvantaged.
Yeah, it sort of makes it like a good old boys club.
Exactly. That's like, kind of what I got from some of them. Did you pick up some of the other cons?
Yeah, I think one of the most compelling arguments against a cap came from the aspirationalists, people who, you know, don't have access to capital or don't know how to raise capital. And they say, okay, if there is a license cap, the only way for me to get a license is going to be to buy one from someone else. And for someone who, say, is fresh out of college, they've always wanted to own their own marijuana business, but they don't come from money. They don't have any, you know, real financial savvy about how to pitch and how to raise money. They're just out. Yeah. They're going to have to work for somebody else. They're probably not going to be able to buy one. And what's, you know, in the alcohol industry, licenses are pretty expensive. Yep. But alcohol has been legal for, what, 80-some years now? And so things have really shaken out. And so the big players are there, and the, you know, the small local players, you know, shift around some. But an alcohol license in Fairbanks costs, what, $80,000 to $250,000, depending on?
Yeah, $80,000 to $100,000, about, maybe up to $140,000. But mainly I think it's only up to $120,000, $130,000 is the highest I've seen them when they're being transferred.
Gotcha. And so that's one of the things that makes cannabis different, because we are at the starting line. And so the reason why we're seeing these, you know, 10, 20, 30x multipliers on the top line revenue of a business in places like Arizona, where they do have caps, or like Nevada, where they have caps. You don't see as high a multiplier as Nevada yet, but these big companies that are just entering the market, they're looking at the long game. Yep. And so to them, it's worthwhile to pay $30 million for a license, because they're looking 100 years down the road, you know.
Yeah,
when
exactly having a business that can be ran for a long time. It's not necessarily just the bottom line figure, but hey, the limits that are there and the total revenues you'd get over the course of the life of the business.
Exactly. So maybe 80 years from now, when the marijuana industry has been mostly consolidated under a handful of very large businesses, and then there's a lot of small craft brew or craft grow and small boutique shops, the value of a license is going to come down a lot. But right now, I mean, this is the wild, wild west of weed. And so someone who doesn't have a license yet, when a cap happens, and unless they got a really rich uncle or they're really good at pitching to people like big alcohol, big tobacco, big pharma, or VCs, they're just they're just not going to be able to get in.
Exactly, and that's a good reason to be concerned, honestly, if you're trying to be an aspiring entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I understand the position of it being a con for them. But
so now this is an interesting one. The bureaucrats who are in favor of license caps. And when the rules were first being produced, a lot of the people who would be an industry member in favor of a license cap and a bureaucrat in favor of license caps weren't on the same page, because a lot of the bureaucrats who are in favor of license caps are coming from either some sort of a perceived moral high ground,
right,
or they're coming from what they believe is a health and safety angle. And when we were crafting the rules, you know, these two groups sparred quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But now what's interesting is that these bureaucrats who are in favor of a license cap for either morals or for health and safety are strange bedfellows. They're on the same side as the industry members who want to cap. They're saying, oh, well, we need to cap these licenses because we don't want an overproliferation of marijuana, or we think it's going to harm our community somehow. And we see them in an agreement with some of these more heavy hitters in the industry.
Nice. I'm happy to see that anyway, that some people would want it. But what's the reasoning now for it then? I mean,
why
the bureaucrats, that are in favor? Is it just to reduce the workload, or what's their perception?
So what, you know, it was interesting seeing the take from some of the board members. We had people who are completely on the fence, but it seems that most of the bureaucrats who would be in favor of a cap is because they see multiple marijuana shops being bad for the community somehow, and they think that if you limit the number of marijuana shops, that you're going to limit the amount of marijuana that exists in the community. We know that that's not really true, just because the black market for marijuana has existed for years. The cops lost the drug war against marijuana. You know, that say, oh,
basically,
you know, the war on drugs has been won by drugs. So that doesn't work. But it's interesting that sort of mentality does benefit people who would like to see a cap.
It makes sense. How about those bureaucrats that are cons?
Yeah, so I would say probably two types there. Maybe there's some more motivations, but we have people who are free market capitalists to the core. They believe in no regulation, or very little regulation is the best regulation. They feel that any sort of limitation on the number of licenses is an encroachment by government, feel that, you know, smaller government is better, and that a free market with unlimited competition is ultimately a healthier market, and that's their line. Now, there are others who don't think that a cap is good just because of the amount of perceived paperwork and the amount of bureaucracy in handling those licensees, you know, especially as they become more powerful, they become more and more difficult to deal with. And so
there was an interesting perspective too, because I figured there'd be a lot more paperwork associated with a bunch of new licenses on a regular basis and having more licensees to manage, you know?
Yeah,
I would think that, oh, I guess, never mind, yeah, you said con.
You'd think so.
Well, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a couple states, they feel that their license cap out the gate was folly, because it did stifle innovation. It set the stage for large actors to come in and ultimately created more bureaucracy. Some of these states, like Washington, that did it right out the gate, they did a lottery and a cap. And so I don't know how, if they're really that great of an example or not.
Yeah. Well, that actually puts us at a right time for having a commercial break. You're listening to The Buzz on KFAR at Radio, the heart of Alaska, heartbeat of Fairbanks.
More of The Buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson, a full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, online at goodtitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, welcome back to The Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey here with Brandon Emmett.
What up?
Welcome back. We're still talking about license caps. Well, one of the things that I found to be kind of more of a problem that we actually have, if we actually implemented a license cap situation, we would actually need to make them transferable. So like right now, we don't have anything for being able to transfer licenses between locations. You just have to get a whole new license, and you only can transfer ownership to somebody else, but it still has to remain at the same spot. So there's not an ability to move its location, which would be pretty difficult to, you know, have caps in place if you're going to make it so that way your building had to be the one and only that was ever there.
Yeah, like the system that we have now, I would say works fairly well, but it works well in an environment where there are no caps, because you have to have a location to get a license, right? So it's a bit of the cart before the horse. And you have to say, okay, I either own a building or I've got an agreement in place with a landlord, and now I want to get a license. And so the board says, okay, well, let's look at your agreement, make sure that you actually have this location, and then you can get the license. But then if you decide to pull up shop and move, you can't actually take that license with you. You have to either transfer that license to somebody else, or you just have to give that license up. Just goes back to the state again, because there's no pool. It's an unlimited, exactly. You know, it's an endless sea of license applications.
Yep.
Yeah. And so then you would have to apply for a new license somewhere else. So if we did do license caps here in Alaska, that's something that the control board would have to work out. Is that, okay, this license is kind of like a golden ticket in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You can take it with you.
Right. Yep, and that also is an interesting thing, too, because one of the thoughts I was having if we had license caps would be, you know, if someone falls behind on tax payments or they have so many NOVs, they would take the license back to be able to be resold, but not allowing transferability for someone that's violated too many rules and regulations, just because there's no reason that that person should get a huge benefit for having suddenly now gotten a cap, and now they have, oh, here I'm sitting on a $20 million license, or, you know, a $5 million license when I owe the state $1 million.
Yeah. So let's say, hypothetically, the state pulls somebody's license, right, and there is a system in place to keep that person from just finding a straw man to transfer the license to buy the license. Say they get a fine, they're out of the industry, yep, but then this person who buys the license is actually working for them, or has made some sort of a sweetheart deal with them. There'd have to be a system for that license to be revoked, to go back into a pool, and then how do you reissue that? Is there then a lottery for it? Which I think would suck, but some bureaucrats like lotteries.
It happens.
Yeah, or is it just that, okay, now the state has that license, and that license is worth $10 million.
You know? No, and I think a good example would be the alcohol industry that we have in Alaska. So, like, right now, they're tapped out on BDLs, but they're not tapped out on breweries. And
so, what's a BDL, Sean?
It's a beverage dispensing license. So, it's basically what all bars have to have.
It's like a whiskey bar kind of a thing, yeah.
But there's still plenty of restaurants. So, you can have a beer and wine restaurant one. So, you can still just go and get that. Those ones aren't tapped out yet, although they do have limits also. And then they get remitted back if somebody doesn't want to buy a restaurant one.
Yeah.
And the same deal with the brewery one. There's a cap in there, if I'm not mistaken, but we haven't come close to reaching it yet because it's all based on population and there's hasn't been a ton of them. But anytime anybody applies for a new one, they just have to pay the state's normal application filing fee.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be $10 million for the state. It would go back into the pool. So I think that if you had a whole bunch of people lined up wanting that one license, then you would need to...
Need merit-based ranking system.
A merit-based ranking system, yeah. Or, I guess, a lottery in some circumstances. But, yeah, a lot of times people have to apply and show that they can have a business and maintain it, you know, through a merit system.
Yeah, and that's kind of something that we've spoke about when talking about expanding the business is competing for licenses in places where their state's having a licensing team, having our incredibly bright attorney write right, an application for us, and hope that we're towards the top. So Alaska would probably have to do something similar to that. So what's interesting, you know, a lot of that testimony was license caps good, license caps bad. It was all over the place. But really, if a decision was made to change it, there's a lot of this minutia, you know, they would have to change the regulations.
Would have to alter, absolutely.
They would have to be, you know, completely altered.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I mean, like we said on the Problem Corner, you and I are in favor of caps. We're in that first group.
Yeah.
People who are in from the get-go and know that big money is coming in no matter what, and it's probably going to be prudent for the people who have worked really hard to cash in on this thing before they just get steamrolled.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, because I mean, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people touched on, or some people might kind of have their head in the sand, is the fact that if there isn't a license cap, let's say Miller Coors or Philip Morris, or even just some really rich dude out of Cali that likes weed, they come and they can afford the real estate. So they pick the best pot shop in town. They buy the strip mall across from them. They level it. They put their own pot shop there that's bigger and nicer, and they bleed that once great business until it ultimately folds.
Yep.
And then they win anyways, you know.
Yep.
I mean, I guess we're talking about, this is after federal legalization when you can't prevent people from coming in from outside.
Yeah.
But that's a very real possibility if we don't get a license cap.
Yep, it is actually, especially as federal legalization is getting closer and closer. I mean, well, who was it? Chuck Schumer introduced a bill in the Senate that basically overhauls it, makes it legal, and it makes it so that way there wouldn't be any restrictions on, you know, interstate commerce, people being able to own a company here that isn't an Alaskan resident. So
yeah, it's getting closer. And that's one of the, you know, one of the arguments that we heard against license caps was that, you know, we want to protect Alaskans. But I think those people are either a little misguided or maybe haven't thought it all the way through, in that without a license cap, when federal legalization happens, you better be smart, you better be tough, or you better be okay with being small, because the big boys are going to come in and they're going to start eating everybody's lunch.
Oh, absolutely. But also, just as a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. KFAR Radio is the heartbeat of Alaska. And you're listening with Brandon Emmett and Sean Tackey here, and we're talking about license caps, if you're just tuning in. Another thing that I noticed was brought up at the Marijuana Control Board meeting, and that seems to be brought up in a lot of the discussions on, like, the forums on Facebook and whatnot, is the focus on fixing other regulations before fixing this. One of them I noticed that everyone has a big issue with is testing for pesticides. And how come we haven't even done that yet?
This is a whole other topic. But yeah, testing sure testing's total nonsense. We test for THC percentage. The numbers are all over the board.
Yeah.
You know, we test for molds, you know, fungus, bacteria, which in some cases that helps protect public health and safety, but you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is people putting Eagle 20 on their plants really egregious pesticides, and that's not tested for at all. And so I think some people would like to see these other regulations hashed out before we address the license cap issue. I think one of the issues that is kind of tied into license caps is the tax delinquency. And so that's an issue that people would like to see handled before a license cap comes, because there's a handful of businesses out there who haven't been paying their taxes. They've taken an interest-free loan from the state, and they'd essentially be getting grandfathered in and getting a free pass. And so there would have to be a system to deal with those people if we did initiate a license cap.
Oh, absolutely. They should actually be getting dealt with now. And the whole taxing structure itself should actually be altered, in my opinion, as well.
Oh, yeah. We got the immobile price floor.
Immobile price floor. And then also, it should just be right at the very end of the sale to the customer. Just have everything baked in as a sales tax across the state. And so every consumer, no matter what you ended up pricing something at below, it's getting tacked on at a very, like, at the valuation of the product.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when we were just wholesalers, people would say, oh, it's convenient for you guys to have that position. But now that we're vertically integrated, I think that's probably the best fit tax, is just to have it at retail. But
absolutely. Well, thank you, Emmett, and thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, thank you, Sean.
You're listening to The Buzz on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this show again and any past episodes, go to the archives page at kfarradio.com and stick around for Health Talk with Dr. Looper after this.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.